Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are into a Festivus playoff time here on the sports side of what we've been doing, but obviously we're into a new year. We've been discussing COVID. Don Mohler has been very, very hard at work on booking all of January with leaders, our amazing leaders throughout the city, throughout the state, elected officials. Don, I know this is very, very near and dear to your heart, this whole project. And on the backside of the coup attempt on Wednesday, it has sort of shaken all of us into a different direction with all of these conversations.
Think of anyone better to try to put all of this into perspective for us than the Speaker of the House and the Maryland General Assembly, Speaker Adrian Jones, a Baltimore Positive alum. Madam Speaker, welcome back.
Oh, it's good to be back. Good seeing you.
Sorry, we don't have tea for you this time. Last time we had some nice tea over at State Fair, so we appreciate that.
Well, you know, Madam Speaker, we've got a number of guests today throughout the state. And certainly when we drew this up, I don't know that any of us anticipated that we would be talking about an attempted coup of the United States government. We're taking a couple of approaches today. Number one, you're extremely busy. I mean, you're working 24 hours a day. The General Assembly is about to begin. I know what that schedule looks like. Walk us through yesterday, since you are so busy. When were you first aware that there was a coup underway in the United States of America?
Later on, I was here in Annapolis late in the afternoon. We got word, and then so we turned on, see what was going on, and it was just impossible. I couldn't believe this was occurring. And the number of people that were there, and sort of like they just took over. And then I didn't really see law enforcement there trying to stop them. So I just, and the manner and the destroying of the buildings. And I said, this does not sound like America. Sounds like, another country in which this occurs. So it was quite shocking.
Speaker, many like times I think we've asked over the last 4 years, what's the worst thing that can happen? That's what he said on the campaign trail, as I remember, 4 years ago. We're now down to 2 weeks left. Do you have any official statement? Bill Ferguson released something I retweeted earlier in a day. Other elected officials, I know Governor Hogan speaking literally as we're speaking right now, so we need to break away. We shall. Things are happening in real time here. We like to have long, breezy conversations about big picture stuff. But in the next 2 weeks, some thoughts as an elected official and as a citizen about where you think this should go.
Okay. Well, I issued a statement yesterday regarding this. And I think that we need to stand together in a bipartisan manner. And we made it clear that as Maryland leaders, that we made it clear that an attack on our democracy is an attack on all of us. You know, our beliefs and collective love of country, inciting, condoning, or making excuses for the storm of our nation's capital is an offense to all of us. You know, I said some other thing too, but that's, give you a gist. And the fact that the member of the House of Delegates, we stand with the members of Congress, the Capitol Police and staff of both sides of the aisle in support of the rule of law.
I can only imagine, I mean, because all of you in the public eye, I mean, we know the Annapolis State House well, we know the Capitol well, and every time you walk in there, there's this, I always say it's this push and pull, and when you and I were together, Madam Speaker, in county government, we had this. You actually remember when we went to security for years, you just walked in to the county office building. People used to be shocked. I mean,
well, 9/11 changed all of that, right?
Literally. This was even after that when the Speaker and I were together. We had one or two incidents, and we said, we can't do this anymore. We've got to have security personnel. We've got to have certain entrances. And it was a change. Do you feel, I guess the hardest question, do you feel safe and secure as an elected official in the current climate?
Well, you got to understand, I have troopers that, you know, that are with me when I'm in like public places and, you know, get me there. So they're sort of like the first line of defense in regarding me. But I am.
And you didn't always live that way. Let's be honest. Right. That's not normal.
It's not normal. And the average person does not have that. So, and, you know, who knows what happens when, you know, people are going to be apprehensive even walking on the street in their block, you know, so I would hate to see that we would get to that point that we don't want to go outside our homes. But this really threw people off. I got a lot of texts from people from all over on this. Some of them were asking about, oh, okay, and, you know, that type of thing. But
I'm sure your brothers were ready to come down and form a circle around. I know that Williams family. They were on call.
Yeah.
We had Barry on a couple of months ago during the tension in the summertime. And, you know, I literally came in to speak to you after speaking to other county executives who will all be on Baltimore Positive here this week. Big shout out to Fadley's and all of our friends who sponsor us and supported us into the new year. And I left literally, you know, MSNBC, CBS, you know, all of that. Mm-hmm. And these elected officials who were literally under their desks in DC on Wednesday, we need to make sure this never ever happens again. And for me, it continues to go back to, you mentioned the word that I love. I love when I hear it, bipartisan, right? Bipartisan's the word we'd love to hear. I don't know how you can be bipartisan when at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, I'm awakened again watching live as Andy Harris is making a fool of himself at 3 o'clock in the morning while that there is such tension on what is a fact and what is belief about our election system. And you're an elected official. Every elected official I know speaks to the integrity of the process that all of you who've ever run make sure that the whole thing's on the up and up. It has to be.
Nestor, I remind people, and the speaker will remember this, none of this about Andy Harris surprises me. People may recall that when President Trump put children in cages and then they began to distribute them around the nation, it was all very, very secretive. And as Baltimore County executive, I had heard that it was possible that some of those children were being housed at a facility in Baltimore County. And I reached out to the federal officials, said, I'd like to know what facility, and I'd like to send in our health and human welfare officials from the county to make sure they were okay. That was literally the extent of what I did. I see the speaker nodding her head. Andy Harris put out a statement basically calling me a communist and, you know, un-American because I wanted to go check to see if these children were okay. So nothing that Andy Harris will ever, and then I immediately set the congressman straight. But nothing he will do will surprise me. Speaker, let's jump to the state of Maryland, because that's where your focus is. You're days away from opening the General Assembly.
Can I say something?
Sure.
The governor had just said that the Maryland National Guard will stay in D.C. through Election Day.
Through Inauguration Day.
Inauguration Day.
Right.
2 weeks.
Thank you.
Right. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Breaking news right from the state. There we go. Man, you can't get it better than that. Right from Annapolis.
Live, local, and late break.
Right.
Madam Speaker, this will be, I guess, your second full session as Speaker.
Yes, it would be my second.
Second full session. Now that you're comfortable in the big chair and the big office, and you're the one that really runs the show down there along with Senate President Ferguson. What has surprised you? Were Mike Bush's right-hand person forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody knew that you were leader pro tem. You knew how it worked, mm-hmm. but then you got the big chair. What has surprised you about being the speaker? What's harder than you thought it might be?
Well, are you talking about in the fact that we're in a pandemic, which I didn't?
Oh, you didn't have that. You didn't plan to be.
Last time we were having tea, that did not come up. I remember that.
Other than we'll talk about governing in a pandemic, but just in general, let people know what challenges a Speaker of the House faces.
Well, the fact that you're the leader of 140 other members with various, personalities and various areas of the state, which, we're bipartisan and trying to, and it's not like hurting, but it's just trying to make sure that we don't go off the rails. That the committee assignments that I put the members are fit for them. So, so they'll be productive and have successes. And also I, in my heart, I believe everyone has something that you're gifted in. And sometimes some of the members, you may not know that until, an issue or a bill comes up or, see them. And sometimes they may think they be on this particular path, but from what I'm hearing from them, that this may be a better path for them. And then they realize, and we sort of make that, those compromise, and just dealing with a lot of varied personalities and all across the state and, young doing progressives, and then we have moderates, and just like in Congress.
Well, it's a little bit of a personality test, right? You need to know what's important to everyone and what's important to their constituency, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I believe in keeping the lines of communication open. Some of our members have some great ideas, and some not so much. So, but we try to have them be successful. So, we're focusing on that as well.
Is a bad idea one that just won't pass? Like, it's just, if it's a bad, is it a waste of time?
Like a bad idea, you will modify and say, perhaps this would be a better way to go to get, the results as you have, but their means may be different than, but if you're getting to the end, that's the same. Sometimes the approach may not be the best. And, we just have, communication or committee chair, et cetera, try to have them successful. So,
well, Nestor and I are delighted to be chatting with the outstanding Speaker of the House, Maryland House of Delegates, Adrian Jones.
West Side.
Speak.
We went through that last time. Woodlawn. East Side, West Side.
Arbutus.
Arbutus.
Lansdowne. There we go.
Yeah.
Madam Speaker, you've been down there a long time. Recently, one of the most iconic figures in state legislatures across the United States, Senator Mike Miller, announced that for health reasons, he could no longer come back to this session. Just from your personal perspective, as someone who dealt with Mike over the years, give our listeners some insight into your relationship with Senate President Miller and any special recollections that you may have of his time in Annapolis?
Well, the first thing I have to say, there's only one Mike Miller, and he was, he could be very stern, but also he could be gentle as a lamb. And he was, when I first became Speaker, he had reached out and gave some very sage advice. He's, we all know there's the longest serving in the country, maybe in the world, and I think he had the Senate at heart. And he's a lover of history. And I think that one of the most recent was the Washington, if you've been to the State House, the whole, when Washington gave up his commission, he was here, that was, the State House was used as, as the White House then. And he'll go out of his way, even after he had stepped down, we had spoken, and then he said, just let me know anything you need, call on me, et cetera. So, you know, people, he can be gruff, but at the same time, he can be like a lamb, you know, and he has a, you know, he has all those kids and grandkids that, you know, had that heredity there. So, you know, I just, you know, he will be missed, but he won't ever be forgotten.
Well, Madam Speaker, you know, we're not going to let you off the hook that easy. You dropped a little nugget in there. You said that when you became Speaker, the Senator Miller shared with you a special nugget of advice. Is that a nugget you can share, or is that too personal to share?
That's between he and I, but I always will keep it there. So
okay, fair enough. Well, let's fast forward to what is about to happen. I think when folks think of the General Assembly this year, let's start with the basics. Are you all going to be able to meet in person? You talked about governing in a pandemic. You adjusted last year. What will the General Assembly look like for you and the public this year?
Well, for the very first day, because there are some procedural changes we have to make, as well as swear in the Speaker and the Speaker pro tem, we aren't meeting in person, but we will be in two different areas, the chamber, and then what we're referring to as chamber annex, you know, socially distant masks, et cetera. Members who are immune compromised will be up in the gallery, again, social distance. And we still, you know, that we have to let the press know what we're doing. They'll be up in the gallery that's over top of where I am, again, socially distancing. And it will be live streamed so that the public can know what we're doing. We won't be in session in the chambers every day, primarily the first day, and probably not until February will we come back. But meantime, there will be hearings that will be taken on the bill hearings. Members still can have access to their members either virtually, or they could make a, you know, appointment again. Some people just need to talk to them, they could do that as well. But we're doing everything to make sure that both the public safe and our members safe. So, but that's basically.
So governing in a pandemic. Now, you know, I'm going to have you tell us about other issues, but near and dear, anyone who's listened to Baltimore Positive knows that Nestor has been on Kerwin.
I was about to bring Kerwin up.
I knew you were going to bring Kerwin up and the Built to Learn Act. And when the governor vetoed them last year, that was not a good day for Baltimore Positive. So I'll beat Nestor to the punch. What do you think? What can you tell our listeners who care deeply about education? What's likely to happen with Kerwin and the Built to Learn Act?
We're looking to override Kerwin. That'll probably be one of the first bills that we will override, and is more important now than ever as a result of a lot of the students have not had access, being in school. They don't have broadband, so, you know, to be able to, you know, get anything where they're at home. So I think it's more than ever that, you know, we will override that. We had the votes to do it.
Speaker, we talked so much about education, and we talked so much about Kerwin before the pandemic. And, you know, Don's a lifetime educator. It's how we met in 1982. We were both five then. And his daughter, you know, has been in education forever. I was going to ask you before any of this, what's the thing that keeps you up at night from COVID? What's the COVID thing? And I would think for all of us, the hospitals, you know, overwhelm, people that are going to die, all of that, vaccines, how we get people vaccines, all of those issues, and we can get to those. But once all this is over with, educating our children is a pretty foundational thing that we haven't gotten right here much. And until we get that right, I see the incident on Wednesday as an education incident, right? I see people who don't believe in these, I see them as not good decision makers, and I see them as poorly educated in some way to not be able to discern what is fact and what is fiction, because maybe they didn't read enough.
Okay.
Well, I would just say education at the heart of everything. And as it sits at the heart of everything, I think COVID has illuminated that more than anything else that COVID's going to illuminate.
Yeah, as a result of that, part of our legislation also has to deal with recovery from COVID. And we realized it was brought out a lot of what we need to make some changes in. So people between unemployment, they weren't able to deal with that. People were struggling for food assistance, and we're just trying to, through that bill, which I referenced about the broadband reform, that's all part of it. We're also gonna, I had a small work group working on making improvements to our virtual learning policy. So all of these type of things that we were doing, you know, telework, et cetera, as part of our COVID packet, because it became apparent when all these things that people could not do, and they were calling us and we weren't able to adequately address them. And that's why we did a focus as part of the packet for this coming year to address what the inadequacies that this pandemic brought forth.
Madam Speaker, are you involved at all as legislative leaders with the governor giving input regarding the what appears to be a particularly slow rollout of the vaccination effort in the state of Maryland? I've noticed some members of the General Assembly have voiced displeasure. Have you gotten any updates from the governor as to why we were so slow and whether or not we can expect that pace to pick up?
Glad you mentioned that. The Senate President and I, we have a monthly meeting. It was yesterday, and that came up, and that is something that's going to be worked on far as improvement and also communicating better. And we just wanted to make sure that, you know, he got the message. So I don't know if part of his announcement today, because I only, you know, saw the other part, what I've referenced to you.
Did you have more confidence after that meeting that Maryland would be able to pick up the pace? Because it appears that it's funny how things evolve, right? People mm-hmm. were worried that Americans would resist the vaccine. It appears to me now that what has happened, and perhaps it's because the virus is so out of control again, that it's actually the reverse. Americans are very eager to get vaccinated and are actually concerned that it's taking too long. Did you leave that meeting with some confidence that Maryland would pick up the pace?
Yes, there's, you know, there's various categories. And I think that the governor got that message, but we're still going to push him. I'll give him 2 days.
It's
an incredible undertaking, right? I mean, this is something nobody's ever had to do in any of the states.
Well, you know, they have the, you know, the various categories people will be in. I think some of the problem was the vaccines, you know, and, you know, there have been some issues there, but they're trying to, I think he got the message loud and clear and because he's doing several announcements about it, but could we have had a lot of complaints in his office as well. So I would hope that will be sped up and, you know, that we can reach more people to be able to get those vaccines and not be slowed down.
What are your thoughts, Madam Speaker, on getting kids back to school? That's probably something Nestor and I hear more from listeners and folks out there. Everybody understands the safety thing, but moms and dads have about had it, I think. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think because I have, you know, two grands that, they're doing it. It's not the same. And I think that, provided there is not a major surge, and I think that some of the school system are doing it anyway, but and I think provided there isn't a surge, I see that maybe having schools to be open, maybe some limited in terms of the numbers, or it's depending on the local jurisdictions. So hopefully, I think that they miss it because the kids do. I know my grandson does. So, and he loves school. So,
well, we've only got a couple of more minutes.
Yeah.
What I know, folks are easy to follow the major issues. They'll follow the education. They'll follow the work on police reform. They know that you're going to have struggles with the budget. Tell our listeners, identify one or two issues that they may not be aware of that they should pay attention to during this assembly that might not be on the front page of the Sun. What's one or two things you think we ought to be tuning into?
A couple. What we try to do to fix some wrongs, such as when the issue of MES reform, and so that should not ever happen again. It was an outrageous abuse of power.
Speaker, tell folks, and I know we're limited, give me just a quick overview of what happened in that debacle, because it was pretty ugly.
Yeah, it was the MES, is Maryland Environmental Services Agency, in which the head of that agency was spending a lot of money, which we consider state taxpayers' money. And so we had hearings on it, and the two gentlemen, they pleaded the fifth, which was outrageous, because we could see the document that was shown on the screen that, showed that they had did abuse of this. So as a result of that, we are doing legislation that this will not ever happen in any other either state agency or, it's abuse of power, and it's our taxpayers' money, it's our public's money. So so that will be addressed. And one of the other things would be in terms of election reform. We realized from the pandemic there'd be different ways to engage and voters. So we will be passing legislation with a permit vote by mail option.
Great.
For Maryland voters, and as well as expanding early voting sites in the state.
So, vote by mail worked in this state. It worked for all of us.
Yeah.
So your vision, boy, I love that. That is one that Nestor and I will put a little pin in. We'll make sure we get our friends from the Board of Elections, Nikki Charlson and others back on. Nikki's been on a number of times. It's been great. So we'll pay attention to that. So am I to read into that Maryland would be moving closer to states like Oregon and Colorado, where vote by mail actually becomes the way we vote?
No. Remember what I said? You hear that word option I said? Because remember during the primary, it was sent to every member.
Absentee ballots.
Absentee ballots was sent. But what do you call it, vote by mail? Anyway, but during the general, you had to request. So what this will do will create a permanent vote by mail option for Maryland voters, as well as expanding early voting sites across the state. So that's what the.
Well, that sounds terrific. I know you got to run. Your staff saying get off of there. Before we do, we got to ask. We're asking everybody comes on. We're so post holidays. How did this holiday season? I mean, you got this big raucous family that love one another. You're always together. How did this holiday season look different for the Jones Williams crew versus past holiday seasons?
Well, it was very streamlined. So we didn't have the big family you to gather at Barry's. We didn't do that. So we just actually focused on the grandkids getting toys and or gifts. And for the rest of us, we just had it very small in the individual homes. But we also did Zoom calls with out of state relatives as well. So
Zoom calls aren't the same because you don't get leftovers the way you should. And I turned out having way too many cookies and ice cream. Speaker, we really appreciate you joining us. We know your time's tight. We know it's been a crazy week and a crazy time. Thanks very much for always making time for us.
You're quite welcome. Take care.
Thanks so much, Madam Speaker.
All right, Don.
There she goes, Madam Speaker of the House, Adrian Jones, joining us from Annapolis on the aftermath of the coup attempt on Wednesday. Don Moeller and I, former Baltimore County executive and my one-time high school guidance counselor at Dundalk High School, get together and have these kinds of conversations. We'll be chatting with Johnny O, chatting with Calvin Ball. We're also chatting with Stuart Pittman, many, many others, including our new mayor, Brandon Scott. I'm working on length of my hair. He's working on length of his hair. And we'll discuss the legend of Shorty as well. On behalf of former County Executive Don Moeller and all of our sponsors, including Fadley's, our friends at State Fair at El Guapo, and Moeller and Gary Realty and all the way around, we are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.